Chapter 3. When Dorothy Kilgallen covered the Jack Ruby trial in 1964, it was the second, so-called trial of the century she reported on. The first had been in 1935, when she beat out several fellow Evening Journal journalists to attend the trial of German-born Bruno Hauptmann. He was charged with kidnapping and killing famed aviator Charles Lindbergh's 20-month-old son, Charles Augustus Lindbergh, Jr. As would be the case during the Jack Ruby trial, Kilgallen's stature had earned her a front-row seat, directly behind the baby-faced Hauptmann. Never one to miss an opportunity to speak with a defendant, she boldly asked the accused about the ladder the prosecutor said he used during the kidnapping after it was introduced into evidence. Without thinking, Hauptmann replied, "The man who made that ladder was a bum carpenter," before respectfully declining to answer any further questions, based on advice from his attorneys. No matter. Just as would happen at the Ruby trial, Kilgallen had successfully become ingrained in the defense camp. When the guilty verdict was announced, Kilgallen was not surprised, writing, "The evidence is overwhelming toward guilt." Like the other journalists, she did not shed a tear when the German was executed. When Kilgallen had told childhood friends she would one day be famous, she had no idea her promise would come true so soon. This happened when she was a contestant in what was heralded as the race around the world. Competitors were required to employ methods of transportation only available to the public during the globetrotting excursion. Kilgallen's competitors were two New York newspaper reporters, Herbert Rosalyn Bud Eakins of the World Telegram and Leo Kieran of the New York Times. Once she was chosen, Kilgallen obtained 16 visas and a passport in 2 days. Her only baggage? A battered typewriter and a converted tweed hatbox. During the October 1936 race, Kilgallen, who finished second to Eakins, noted references to her as a modern-day Nellie Bly, the pen name for Elizabeth Cochran Seaman, famous for an 1889 record-breaking trip around the world in 72 days. In emulation of Jules Verne's fictional character Phileas Fogg in the classic book Around the World in 80 Days. Humbled by the comparison, Kilgallen wrote, "I'm supposed to be a 1936 Nellie Bly. I feel like Bly, a female Gulliver and Columbus all rolled into one. I can't discover a new world, but I can discover the fastest way around it." She then added, "Nellie Bly, watch over me. You may be astonished at what you see, but watch anyway." Kilgallen's itinerary included hurried flights on the German dirigible Hindenburg, with Nazi swastikas visible on its sides, Pan American's famed China Clipper, and several other airlines. Eakins, with whom she shared beer and ham sandwiches on the trip, recalled the scene when Kilgallen arrived to board the Hindenburg in New York City. She was in a big, black limousine with detectives on both sides of her, and behind her were 2 or 3 newspaper trucks filled with bruisers from the circulation department. They made damn sure she got on the ship. Scurrying about with little time for rest permitted her to make the trip in 24 days, 13 hours, and 51 minutes. Among the countries she visited were China, the Philippines, Germany, England, France, Italy, Greece, Egypt, Iraq, and India. When the Hindenburg landed in Berlin, 250 Nazis were drawn up in military arrays to jockey it into her huge gray hangar. Though there was no controversy at the time, Kilgallen's friendship with Nazi big shots could have been a concern, since one of those who aided her in Berlin was General Franz von Epp, one of Hitler's right-hand men. Later, she even expressed regret at not accepting the general's invitation to dinner, since he told her he was seeing the Führer that evening. One must wonder if the ever-curious Kilgallen intended to gather inside information from the general regarding Hitler's diabolical plans to take over the world. Since 1936 was the year he had ordered 22,000 German troops into the Rhineland in a direct contravention of the Treaty of Versailles. If so, the chance was lost. Weather conditions during the bold adventure varied from good to bad to worse as the fall temperatures dipped from highs in the 80s to lows in the 30s, with wind gusts an obstacle on many flights. Crouched in her seat, Kilgallen braced herself for hard landings, while at times eating day-old food as the airplanes bounced around in the clouds, many times with rain pelting the wings. Newspapers heralded the young daredevil as the first woman to travel around the world on commercial airlines. While doing so, she became the first female to fly across the Pacific Ocean. Marguerite Moores Marshall, a noted writer at the time, said, "Dorothy is the most daisy-fresh globe girdler I ever hope to see, and so much prettier than even the best pictures of her printed in the Evening Journal. Her little features are cut with cameo delicacy. Her skin has the lucent pallor of white lilac. Her Irish eyes are not only smiling, but sea-blue and black-lashed. Her dark hair, parted in the middle, is arranged in a most artful series of curls and purrs, not a hair out of place." Providing her readers with a chronicle of the adventure, Kilgallen wrote, "Dawn found us sailing serenely northward, over French Indo-Chinese jungles, where tigers and great constrictor snakes lie in wait for little girls. Bump, bump, splash. We thumped down in the middle of a rice field. Appearing like gnomes from the ground, about 600 chattering natives, nearly naked, surrounded the plane. They spoke no English, of course, and we could not understand Siamese." In addition to her feat of crossing the Pacific, the fearless Kilgallen set a record for the fastest 5,000-mile span ever flown, Hawaii to New York City. Dignitaries, including First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt, congratulated Kilgallen on her many achievements. Famed aviator Amelia Earhart was also among the women who cheered the young reporter's feat. Kilgallen was famous at last, just as promised early on, with several newspapers lauding her willingness to carry the banner for women's rights by challenging the two men. Her doing so was a prelude to Kilgallen becoming a true advocate for her gender, though she may have never realized the accomplishment at the time. Soon after, Kilgallen wrote Girl Around the World, chronicling the amazing adventure. It was her first published book. It featured a light blue cover with black lettering and the image in Kilgallen's likeness carrying a typewriter case and a hat box. She was only 23 years old. In the book's foreword, called A Tribute from Dorothy's Father, Jim wrote, "I am proud of you. Not because you are a good newspaper woman at 18, not because you have become famous at 23 by flying around the world. I am proud of you because now that your greatest journalistic achievement is over and the plaudits have died down, you are the same unspoiled girl you have always been. Today your future looms bright. I believe your success is assured. You have given me the thrill of a lifetime, and you proved you had what Damon Runyon termed moxie, courage." In Girl Around the World, Kilgallen trumpeted her willingness to take chances. She wrote, "I'm off on a race around the world, a race against time and two men. I know I can beat time. I hope to beat the men." Kilgallen also included words that would define her career until she died 29 years later. "I'm a reporter who likes danger and excitement," while adding, "This assignment has been much easier than covering murder trials and much prettier." While admitting to being a bit scared in Calcutta when a lizard crawled in bed with me, but enthused when the guys learned I could shoot dice. While visiting Hollywood, Kilgallen appeared in the movie Sinner Take All. She also presented Warner Brothers with a screenplay based on her around-the-world adventures as chronicled in her book. Produced as Fly Away Baby in 1937, it starred Glenda Farrell as Kilgallen. She did not have a role in the comedy adventure. The film credits included Based on an Idea by Dorothy Kilgallen. The three main characters featured were named Huey Sprague, Sonny Croy, and, as Dorothy, Torchy Blaine. Not yet 24, the Chicago-born little girl who was interested in acting was now a household name. Louis Sobel, a fellow reporter at the Evening Journal, wrote of Kilgallen's world at the time. This slender, wide-eyed, deceivingly naive in attitude and soft-spoken mannerisms female reporter was to herself mingling with a new set of characters. Racket guys, grafters, phonies, creep janes, society fops, chorus girls, pimps, overdressed Jezebels and their rent payers. Sobel, commenting on Kilgallen's appearance at a theater opening, wrote, "Out of a streamlined, shiny chariot stepped a fragile, raven-haired honey. A thinnish youth with bat ears and pop eyes and a 10th Avenue sub-deb fought each other to be at her side. 'Will you sign this, Miss Kilgallen?' pleaded the boy, thrusting out his soiled autograph album." Sobel added, "She still goes to church on Sundays, blashes when profanity is set loose within her hearing, and walks away from obscene stories." Meanwhile, Kilgallen's column, Hollywood Scene, As Seen by Dorothy Kilgallen, later changed to As Seen in Hollywood by Dorothy Kilgallen, appeared in the Evening Journal and then in the New York Journal American, when the Evening Journal and the New York American merged in 1937. Kilgallen felt honored when she was given the prize assignment to cover the wedding of Franklin Delano Roosevelt Jr. to Ethel DuPont. Even more prestigious was her traveling to England to attend the coronation of George VI. Her debut in London society at various high-profile events provided more media exposure for the fast-rising star. During the Christmas holidays, a surprise announcement appeared in Hearst newspapers across the country. The first and only woman columnist, Dorothy Kilgallen's Voice of Broadway column, starts Monday. A man's job. Beginning Monday in the New York Journal American, Dorothy Kilgallen will report daily on the deeds and misdeeds of Broadway. A man's job. But Dorothy has been doing a man's job and doing it better. The Voice of Broadway was created to deal with the news and gossip of the day, theater, politics, and crime. Kilgallen's main competition were all men: Walter Winchell, Ed Sullivan, Lucius Beebe, and Leonard Lyons. At the height of its popularity, the column appeared in every Hearst syndicated newspaper nationwide. Small towns and large cities, 200 and counting. At 25, she was the only prominent female Broadway columnist. An entertainment magazine called her an authentic celebrity. Despite her sudden rise to stardom, Kilgallen displayed a humble attitude. When a snowstorm hit New York City and the Journal American's electricity faltered, she retired to a local pub with male colleagues she called the guys and downed a few beers with them. Kilgallen even picked up a pool cue. There was laughter when a ball she hit too hard bounced off the table and hit a startled reporter squarely in his private parts.